Tomorrow, the United States Military Academy at West Point celebrates its bicentennial. Created by President Thomas Jefferson, West Point has shaped two centuries of American military leaders, Ulysses S. Grant, Robert E. Lee, George S. Patton, Norman Schwarzkopf. When Douglas MacArthur entered the academy in 1899, soldiers still rode horses. By the time he retired from active service, the U.S. had dropped the atomic bomb. In 1962, near the end of his life, MacArthur returned to West Point to receive an award. Addressing the Corps of Cadets, he tried to say what the military academy had meant to generations of graduates. MacArthur began with the school's motto.
Duty, honor, country. Those three hallowed words reverently dictate what you ought to be, what you can be, what you will be.
The motto was developed in the late 19th century.
Theodore Crackle is author of West Point, A Bicentennial History.
A committee of three senior faculty members were appointed in 1896 to design a coat of arms and a motto for the academy. They completed their work in 1898, just a year before MacArthur arrived at the academy.
Now, how was the academy started? What is its history?
It'd be nice if we had a grand motive for the creation of the academy, but I think Jefferson's motive was more practical than grand. Jefferson won the bitterly fought election of 1800. He inherited a government that was constituted almost wholly of Federalists and an army officered by Federal officers, many of whom were vociferous opponents of his. So the creation of the military academy gave him an opportunity to take young sons of Republican faithful and give them training and basic education they needed to become effective officers.
Now, returning to MacArthur's speech, after he speaks of duty, honor, and country, where does he go next?
Well, he continues to develop that theme a bit. He says, this motto is your rallying point, to build courage when courage seems to fail, to create hope when hope becomes forlorn. But then he goes on to begin to talk about the soldiers that the cadets will soon begin to lead. He says, are they reliable? Are they brave? Are they capable of victory?
Their story is known to all of you. It is the story of the American man-at-arms. My estimate of him was formed on the battlefield many, many years ago. I regarded him then, as I regard him now, as one of the world's noblest figures. His name and fame are the birthright of every American citizen.
Now, after 200 years, how well do the cadets at West Point reflect America's birthright in gender, race, social status, and the like?
Well, I think they do so very well, maybe even better today than they did in the time that MacArthur was a cadet. In the years since 1962, there has been much more emphasis on bringing minorities into the Corps. And in 1976, we brought women into the Corps. This notion of drawing on a very broad base has been probably the strong point of the Academy, and it is what has, I believe, caused the officer corps of the Army to be so very stable. Drawn from a very wide segment, geographically, socially, economically, it really is a part of the people.
Can you compare the classes of 1802, 1902, and 2002?
Well, they're alike and they're different. First of all, they were all young people of college age. In fact, there were a few even younger cadets in the very early years. They were all to become officers in the United States Army. They all dressed in gray uniforms, or at least once we got uniforms, the class of, I think, 18-2 didn't have any. They paraded, they lived in barracks, they ate in the mess hall. But there are differences. First of all, the size of the Corps itself. In 18-2, there were just about 40 cadets. In 19-2, just under 400. And some 4,000 today. The curriculum has also changed a bit. When MacArthur gave his speech, they had just begun to introduce electives. At that time, everyone was majoring in engineering. Now one can major in English, history, social science, along with the sciences, engineering, and mathematics.
But at base, they're majoring in military leadership.
I think that's right. The Corps' mission, in my view, and of course I don't speak for the military academy itself, but it's to prepare these young people to become officers. The academy likes to say officers of character. But it's to give them not just the information and the skills that they need as a second lieutenant, but to prepare them for a lifetime of service.
Let's go back to MacArthur. He's addressing the long gray line here.
You now face a new world, a world of change. And through all this welter of change and development, your mission remains fixed, determined, inviolable. It is to win our war along gray line. Has never failed us. Were you to do so, a million ghosts in blue and gray would rise from their white crosses, thundering those magic words, duty, honor, country.
The Long Gray Line is, in its simplest form, all of those graduates that have preceded the class that's graduating in whatever year. But in a more special way, it is sort of the embodiment of the spirit of West Point itself, the lives, the service of the men that went before them, extending back into the mists of time to 1802.
MacArthur offers a pretty romanticized view of military service. Has winning wars been a part of the post-Vietnam West Point, or more about preventing wars or reducing the conflict?
Well, I think that the post-Vietnam era, winning war is still very, very important, and it is today. In the post-Cold War era, it may be more emphasis on reestablishing peace, nation building, and these kinds of things. It's very likely that some of the young officers that will be commissioned at the end of this academic year will spend some time in Afghanistan early in their careers. As long as there are those who wish the United States ill, we're going to need a long gray line.
Theodore Crackle is author of West Point, A Bicentennial History, and a visiting professor of history at the Military Academy. General MacArthur concluded his 1962 speech with a farewell to the Corps of Cadets. He said, "The shadows are lengthening for me." Then he added,
"I want you to know, when I cross the river, my last conscious thoughts will be of the Corps. And the Corps, and the Corps."
General Douglas MacArthur speaking in 1962 at West Point, which is 200 years old tomorrow.